to the Able Voice Podcast, where your voice is more than a melody, planting seeds in the growing field of clinical music therapy. It's the Able Voice Podcast with Haley and Kim.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Able Voice Debrief. We are so excited to dive into this particular group of episodes because there are two topics that to some might feel unapproachable or might feel really complex or difficult to grasp. A lot of the times when we think about mathematics or statistics, or, you know, things like program evaluation. And similarly, when we think of things like government regulation and what that means for us as practicing music therapists within our respective provinces. So I'm excited to dive into these and to find some, you know, common ground between the two topics, to go through some of the things that we learned as a result of talking to these incredible individuals and candidly debrief with you our thoughts about both of these conversations that we got to have on season 4 of the Able Voice podcast. We are grateful for these opportunities to just have a conversation about these interviews that we get to have and kind of reflect. It's a time for us to reflect. We always encourage other people to do reflection as well. So if you have any thoughts about what you heard, please do connect with us. We're always open to hearing your thoughts and what your takeaways are from the episode. Let's just jump right in with it. Kim, what are some things that come to mind when you think of our conversations with JD and the three ladies, Kristen, Susan, and Colleen from the government regulation episode?
I just want to echo that sentiment of the gratitude for these conversations, because I think that's the primary thing that comes to my mind as a common denominator across them. You know, you mentioned that sometimes these topics are not the most digestible to people, or maybe can be a little bit scary or overwhelming. And so I'm just grateful to be able to have this space where we can talk candidly about that with people who find passion in those realms. Because, you know, we all have our different passion pieces and our different areas of expertise. And so it's really great to hear these pieces coming from people who are passionate in that realm and who are informed, and to make it a little bit more palatable for the rest of us. So yeah, I think that's really important. And I think what I'm really resonating with that I saw across both episodes in talking with JD about statistics and how we can use those to our benefit, and also in talking with Kristen, Susan, and Colleen about regulation and really what the bottom line for that is, it's gathering information that is going to help inform our field and help move us in the direction that we as a field want to be going, and asking questions. And, you know, I think we've seen that theme come up quite a few times in Able Voice history, I suppose, of just, you know, being curious and asking questions and looking at things from this line of information seeking. And so I really appreciated getting to hear that across both episodes, and specifically when JD was talking with us about how all of these different data points can actually really truly inform the work that we're doing, and having it in that perspective as opposed to, you know, we need the data, we got to find the data, more so of the shoulds kind of mentality. And just hearing his energy, and I mean, we were lucky to get to see and feel that on Zoom, feeling that of not the shoulds, but we want to. I'm so curious and I want to ask all these questions and I love these data points. And it just really gave me that little spark of what a game changer, what a door opener for that mentality piece and how it can inform not only the clinical work, but so many different elements of what we do in the profession.
There's kind of like this delicate balance depending on your approach to practice and what role you play as a professional, you know, how much you are involved in that, in the stat and data collection of what happens when we're involved in music therapy. So a lot of the times we have questions from both sides. I like the perspective of, yes, we know inherently what's happening with the music, but sometimes there are ways to catch things when we sit back and are able to reflect and look at those pieces of data, those pieces of information that can help to paint a bigger picture than we would be able to with the experience alone. It's also great to see from that perspective that there are many ways that you can interact with this statistical side of the work and how it can better, like you said, Kim, inform the practical side of our work and our journeys. And there was this sentiment, I can't remember what part of the episode we were in or the part of the interview we were in when we were talking with Kristen, Susan, and Colleen. They mentioned a reason, one of the key reasons for regulation within provinces was to help to create or add to the building of this standard across our profession. And I think that was an interesting phrase because it's something that does get thrown around a lot when we are talking about that qualitative, quantitative, those qualitative and quantitative outcomes in result of what we do, you know, wanting to see that there is some standardization, but that can be really rigid when we talk about analyzing what we're doing as professionals. But then we have this other side where a lot of us, I think, are really craving standardization so that we can have protection of title and really credibility within the work that we're doing as music therapists. So that kind of parallel of really wanting to have that support, that standardization when it comes to our credential and what it means and who can use it and the, you know, boundaries around that, the criteria around that is really important to most music therapists, I think. And then on the other hand, when it comes to the work and really categorizing the standard of practice there, I think that's where it gets a little tricky because we all have our unique connection to the way that we choose to practice and our intent behind the music therapy relationship and what that means. It's interesting when you look at it from both perspectives and what it means for the profession as a whole.
I really love that we can have this conversation because I think that's such a distinction that I've heard from a lot of music therapists. Like you said, I think that that impacts a lot of people. And there is this interplay between like really wanting that protection, as you mentioned, and that, you know, it's more than a title, but that title. And I think there's a lot of frustration in the field because we, you know, sometimes don't feel like we have that in some areas and it can cause stress and challenge, but then there's so many things that stand in the way, well, not in the way, that there are so many hurdles. You know, a thing that kept coming back between all three of the ladies talking about regulation is kind of this sentiment of the hurry up and wait of we work, work, work. And then there's so many people involved, which can be awesome and exciting to collaborate. And I think that's one of the things that I've really enjoyed hearing about their journeys of, you know, who they're collaborating with and the fact that we were able to get on the call and hearing them kind of collaborate together in this collective vision. But when there's that many moving pieces happening, it takes time and finding that balance of how we are able to, you know, still provide the creativity and the autonomy and validate all the different elements of the field, because there are a lot of parts, there are a lot of approaches, there are a lot of different people. And I think that's what makes the field so rich and interesting and accessible in terms of people being able to find the person that meshes with their energy best and their needs. But also coming back to those core elements of what are the basics? What are the base regulation pieces that need to happen in order for our field to be able to survive and thrive? And that interplay between allowing both of those is really fascinating.
And you bring an interesting point because the degree to which that's happening across Canada is in process according to wherever you are. Every province is in a different stage. It's not like all happening in this big uniform manner. which I think can also either add to the frustration in combination with celebrating the progress that your fellow music therapy community is making. It can be frustrating when it's not advancing wherever you are located. So I, one, want to really commend all of the people who are working tirelessly and persistently to get regulation, something that is actively present no matter where you practice. And I know this is not just isolated to Canada. I know that our friends in the States are also, you know, battling this ongoing regulation piece. And it kind of just mirrors life in a way sometimes when you think of that. It's just sometimes there's a whole bunch of comparison. And we've talked about this on this podcast. So many of us are in different stages of our practice. It's easy to compare somebody who is super successful to where you are currently, knowing that we don't know all the pieces that it took to get there. And it really struck me when Susan said, she was talking about, well, in 1990, I can't remember what year it was. And just she said it so calmly and like it was just rolled off her tongue. And in my head, I'm just like, my goodness, you have been doing this for so long and you're still going strong. It would have been so easy for you to give up along the way, but you are sticking to this. And how grateful are we as a music therapy community for your persistence and dedication to this piece, which will help so many people once it is brought to fruition.
100%. It takes such a special individual, a special kind of person to be able to start this work and stay with it for so long, knowing that that the process is sometimes, you know, a couple steps forward, a couple steps back, and remaining committed to that. Because I think the resilience of working towards something that can or that does have the potential to impact your career and your livelihood in such a concrete way is just amazing, incredible. I echo you in commending the people working towards this. And like you said, Susan's journey specifically of having that experience of the early on, and what an honor to be able to be in the same conversations with her, being able to bring that perspective and being able to shed that light and mentorship towards other areas that are either going through a similar portion of the process or who are, you know, perhaps more advanced, and being able to just be humble and learn from those experiences and be so casual is not the word, but like calm. There's this general peace that I found across all of them that perhaps I wasn't expecting coming into it. And I think for me that's because I've been around a lot of the conversations of, gosh, why just aren't we there yet? And I just want this to happen so that this client can get X, Y, Z. And for me, coming from a psychotherapy lens, working towards becoming an RP and having that benefit in my practice, that some people can access my services covered by insurance through the RP work, but a large portion of the people that I work with are not doing psychotherapy. And so they do not fall into that category. And there are those barriers. And so I think I came into the conversation expecting to hear a little bit more of those perspectives. And it was so refreshing just to feel that grounded, you know, it is what it is. Yeah, there's frustrating moments. And yeah, there's times where we're not where we want to be. But, you know, it's a drop in the ocean. And even the tiniest drop can cause a ripple, and enough ripples cause a wave. And just being in that wash of that energy, I think, is a really productive mentality to have towards this continual journey.
Just to add to that, you are someone who is undergoing the process in Ontario toward joining the college or becoming an RP through the college. That is one of the pathways that is available to music therapists in Ontario. There's a different pathway for Alberta. And instead of having our own pathway, what I'm noticing a trend is that there are these other professions, or what did Susan say? There was like the difference between in BC, you had to identify yourself as a profession, which was regulated, versus an occupation. So all of these professions that are regulated, we are finding pathways to connect and become or achieve regulation through those pathways. With JD, he was talking about wanting to do music therapy, but then finding statistics and going down that path for a little bit. Now he's combined both worlds together. I think a lot of music therapists would probably relate to that sentiment as well, is maybe a reason that they do get cross-training in other areas because they're seeking regulation or to widen their skill set in other areas that would complement their music therapy work, like JD. There are many reasons to get cross-trained, but I thought we could throw in that little piece about cross-training because even for me, I knew that I wanted to get cross-trained, do my master's in something other than music therapy, just because I was interested in other things and learning about something different and knowing that there were so many opportunities for me to improve on my music therapy skill set in other ways that were also meaningful. But I was interested in doing a completely different program for my master's. And this conversation around cross-training is coming up more and more and more. Maybe it's something that we do an episode about next season. But it's interesting to me because very seldom at this point do I come across a music therapist who doesn't have some sort of cross-training or doesn't have thoughts about that. And whatever reason that is, whether it's because you couldn't get enough music therapy work or it wasn't high enough paying, which is all direct result of, you know, this regulation piece, which we're fighting for. It's just interesting to me to sit down and think about perhaps why we see cross-training in these areas, because there are so many reasons I assume somebody would want to go that direction.
Yeah, it's a fascinating question. And I agree. I see that a lot. I'm trying to think of music therapists in my network that aren't cross-trained, and that's a very hard thing to do right now. And I'm as we're talking about it, I'm reflecting. Yeah, for some people, it's a very practical element. You know, for me joining the college, there was that practical piece of wanting that regulation, but there was also the curiosity piece to it and knowing that I wanted to practice psychotherapy and just being a bit more in alignment with that. But you expressing that you were interested in it because you wanted to learn something else and you were curious. And I think I have a lot of things on my never-ending wish list that I think all music therapists have in terms of things we want to learn that are purely for that reason, purely because I'm interested and because I think that they would mesh really well with my practice. That's another one of the really unique things about the field of music therapy is that it's so diverse. And that's why we see why JD was able to make that combination and why people can take, you know, sociology or cultural studies or, you know, something that like science, I mean, I guess that's extremely related, but when you think about it, you don't. The external eye. But something extremely, what you might consider opposite at first that like blends so nicely together. And I find that so intriguing because, yeah, there are fundamental reasons that people might try to mesh those career paths together. But most of the situations where people have been like, oh, I'm picking up extra work on the side, so I'm doing this, from at least the conversations that I've had, have led to this really beautiful meshing of a practice and, you know, more than just tools in our toolkit. And I find that really, yeah, really interesting just to see possibilities, I guess, of the field. And it gets me all excited and butterflies in my stomach. But I agree. I would love to have some more conversations about that and just to see where that's coming from, but also what those impacts look like too.
There are so many possibilities. I think the fact that music therapy can be adapted and mesh well with so many other professions is why I think I love it so much. I love the adaptability and the diversity that music therapy has to offer, like just in the sense of what it is that we're doing. So many things fit well and work well and collaborate well with this medium. It's really hard for me to, I'm trying to think right now of something that might not work at all. I'm like, funny enough, my head is going to like a sanitation worker or like a something like that. I'm just like, well, perhaps, but who doesn't need a clean working space?
But also, like, so if I'm thinking about that in the practicality of actually doing the clinical work, maybe that's a harder stretch. But then I think about all the instruments that we clean in a day and what expertise would come to like inventing or creating these solutions or things to better take care of our spaces and our instruments. And maybe this is just because we're like creative people and make all of these connections more easily. But I truly agree, like anything can be combined in that sense.
that's something that's going to sit in my head for a while now. So I could use your help, listeners. Let us know what one profession could absolutely never be paired with music therapy, like the skill set of one profession with music therapy. Because I would argue, I think I could find almost anything that could go with the skill set that we have as music therapists. Challenge accepted.
Yes.
Story of a music therapist's life. I think we walk into any session and we're just like, okay.
Yeah.
Challenge accepted.
Maybe that needs to be a sticker. And I really love this conversation that you and I are getting to have, because I feel like we're going through such different spaces and themes and vibes and just kind of jumping all over the place. And it all really is connected. And I think that's a parallel between, you know, being able to mesh those career paths together and all of the different things that are our lived experiences and all those things that mesh together, and really just coming back to that place of journey. And, you know, across the conversation with JD and across the conversation within regulations, taking stock of where we're at right now, looking at what has been done, how it has impacted things, if it's worked, if it hasn't worked, what can we learn from that, and where we're at right now with this balance in mind or interplay in mind of that, you know, focus and drive and want for growth, like the hopes that each of them shared in the conversations were really inspiring as well, but balanced with that. Here we are in the present moment, and here we are in this state together. And I think really leaning into that together and that connection has been inspiring and also validating, I think, for me to be able to just come together and see that you're collaborating with other groups of people, and we're all in this together. And even when we feel separated, and I do think, you know, when we're met with these topics of regulation or distinction in the field or different paths, because we're also distinct with those cross-trained elements, that sometimes we can enhance that isolation piece. But being able to recognize, you know, there's lots happening in tandem and finding these conversations and finding these action items and finding these ways to just be involved in the journey with the skill sets that we bring is what is going to help us stay the course and ride the waves and do whatever comes our way.
Yeah, I find there's just always something to talk about. I love that we get to do just that on this platform. The conversations that we have had this season, I think we've left every single one of them just more fulfilled, wanting to continue learning more and continue talking about things that matter. So I am very happy and feel elated that we were able to offer another season of the Able Voice podcast with some incredible guests this season. And I look forward to all that is in store ahead. We will be coming back, coming in hot in January. So make sure you tune in for a brand new season, season 5 of the Able Voice podcast in January 2024.
See you then.
Thank you for listening to the Able Voice podcast. If you want to hear more episodes like this, subscribe to the podcast and follow us on social media at Synergy Music Therapy.
You can also find links to our most recent and top-rated episodes on our website at www.synergymusictherapy.com.